Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth, on this sensational Saturday.
There you go. Our Do Not Fear scripture for the day is 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Our teaching today is entitled, No Second Guessing About Good Living. No Second Guessing About Good Living. Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. Philippians 2, 14 through 16, Message Bible. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of the good living and of the living God. It's time really for an honest self-examination. Do you and I want to do everything readily and cheerfully, even when we don't want to? I will confess to you there are certain things that are part of my daily life that I don't enjoy and prefer never to do. But sometimes I must do them nevertheless. One of the things that falls in that category is fixing stuff around the house. Before I married my fine wife, Bev, I told her that I'd take her places she'd never been, do things she never thought of, but if something broke down at the house, somebody else was going to fix it. I've pretty much kept my word, wouldn't you say, honey?
Yes, I would.
But there are moments when it's not prudent, necessary, or financially wise to pay somebody else to perform a certain task. On those occasions, I rise to the challenge, and as I said, not always readily and cheerfully, but I'm working on that part of it. Also, occasionally I've got a good friend named Clay that helps out.
He does a lot.
Here's what I discovered. When I do these frustrating chores, it puts a smile on my wife's face, which I'm sure makes God smile. So that's a pretty much a good reward enough right there.
Hallelujah.
I must also say that not having a desire to fix stuff or to be handy around the house is not because I can't do it or learn to do it. It's just that, well, I don't want to do it. It's not that I'm lazy, because I'm not. In fact, I've had several of my mentors over the years tell me I'm the hardest working person they've ever met. It's just I prefer working hard on things that interest me, or things that I think will further advance the kingdom, the things God has called me to do. Scripture also says there should be no bickering or second guessing. If you are drawing a breath on planet Earth, nor married, you messed up at one time or another. Even in the best of marriages, that's going to happen unless a Walter Mitty, a henpecked husband, marries a Stepford wife without an opinion of her own. I found that bickering and second guessing among spouses most often occurs over finances. If you'd have gotten that raise last year, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. If you'd stayed away from the mall and didn't charge so much on that credit card, we wouldn't be behind on our payments. Blaming one another, bickering, second guessing, never has and never will solve a problem. And it definitely makes things worse. So right now, if this applies to you, stop it. Stop it. Practice blame-free conversation.
You know, we were searching the scriptures over this teaching, and we came across Job 42:1-6. Job 42:1-6 in the Message Bible, and we're going to share it with you. Job answered God, I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. You asked, who is this muddy in the water? Ignorantly confusing the issue, second-guessing my purposes. I admit it, I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me, made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, listen, and let me do all the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers. I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do that again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumor.
Wow.
That's a lot in that. And yeah, there's sure a lot more in Job. People avoid it. I used to avoid it like the plague. I hated when I was reading through the Bible. But I always came out on the other side learning a lot of stuff. Anyway, here are a couple thoughts about whether or not we should be second-guessing ourselves. First, seek God before making the decision in the first place. If he directs your steps, then forget the second-guessing. And then second, did anything in your decision contradict the word of God? Third, make a list of the reasons you consider in favor of and against the decision before you did. Fourth, now ask yourself, has anything changed since you made the decision? If not, there's no reason to second guess. Fifth, put yourself in a stress-free environment to consider your decision.
Yes.
Maybe going for a walk or listening to some praise and worship music or light the fireplace or something that lights or lights your fire.
I love that.
And doing whatever puts you in a contemplative mood. Sixth, this will seem a little strange, but wash your hands. You know, we read sometimes back that a simple act in a symbolic way, like washing your hands of the matter, just kind of put it to bed, so to speak.
Yes.
And seventh, if second guessing breaks your focus off of what God directed you to do, then you know where it's coming from. So seven things to think about, for sure. But let's look at Philippians 2:14 again. In the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. The scripture in Philippians also says that God wants us to provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. That's a little play on words. Now, we get to get excited about this verse, and maybe you should too. First, it's much more difficult to give people a glimpse of something you're not experiencing or manifesting in your life. So it's time to make the necessary changes we need to get control over our lives and our destiny, because what God wants to, well, he wants to show us off by living through us.
Amen.
We don't have to live for God. We need to let God live through us.
That's good.
Good living is not wondering where your next dollar is coming from. Good living is not having to work two jobs just to make ends meet. Good living is not being evicted from your apartment or left homeless through a foreclosure. Good living is not having our credit cards maxed out. And good living is not worrying about loved ones who are not serving the Lord. Good living is not spending more on Prozac and worrying related trips to the doctor than we are with tithing and giving to the kingdom of God. Child of God, the Bible says that your heavenly Father wants to give other people a glimpse of good living, the life like you're living. If that kind of life is just a dream and not a current reality, then we need to begin making the changes necessary to fulfill this direct instruction, really, from the Lord. Isaiah 3, verses 10, partially 10, 11, says this, reassure the righteous that their good living will pay off.
I love these scriptures.
Yes.
There are three verses in Proverbs that clearly demonstrate God wants you living the good life. Proverbs 4:4, the easier read version says, my father taught me this. Pay attention to what I say. Obey my commands, and you'll have a good life. Proverbs 7:2, easy to read version. Consider my teachings as precious as your own eyes. Obey my commands, and you'll have a good life. Proverbs 19:23, easy to read version. Respect the Lord, and you'll have a good life, one that is satisfying and free from trouble. We need to move on, but we feel led to do a new teaching on how to experience the good life. When Joshua needed help, he sought the Lord. He got in his presence. He listened to what God spoke, and then he did what he was told, so that it, God's word, can make him prosperous and fill him with success. Joshua 1:8, one of our favorite scriptures. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest do, observe, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As we read, confess, and possess Joshua 1:8 as our own, then we will grow into living your life in such a manner that people will get a glimpse of good living through your life. But more importantly, through your manifestation of good living, other people will witness the life, promises, and power of the living God. Mm. You'll become his success story. You might wonder, is that possible? Absolutely. If you believe the word of God, and we know you do, then you will manifest good living in your life.
You know, I want to mention something, because we all are striving to go forward and do better. Yesterday morning, our heat would only get up to 69, but part of the problem was it was 28 degrees outside. So sometimes, you know, like people, I mean, our heating system, sometimes we're doing the best we can to get up there, but it just isn't happening right now. But we just need to keep applying the word and putting it to work in our lives, and we'll see manifestation.
Hallelujah.
And don't forget that today, tonight, is the time you turn your clocks back an hour. Fall back, they say, in the fall.
And you'll get another hour of sleep.
Yeah, not only that, but you won't be too early to church.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, until tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern.
God bless you. Happy trails.
And have a great day.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
Amen. We love you. We appreciate you.
We do.
Yes, we do. Bye-bye.